Didn't you also appreciate the nice decoration? How it's more and more becoming like a forest. I always want to see the other shades. Hare Krishna, Ramananda, you are here. We last minute. Wir haben gehört, das würde nicht klappen, aber
wir haben lecker Kaffee. Das ist nur der neue, der Sound.
Leda Yeah. Bhakti Vedan Swami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishna Vrinda ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Premananda ki jai, Vani Adi Bol. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to CC Guru Ji. All glories. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Jnana Kamadhyana Vritam
Jnana Kamadhyana Vritam
Anukulena Krishnanu
Anukulena Krishnanu
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Jnana Kamadhyana Amritam
Jnana Kamadhyana Amritam
Anukulyena Krishnanu
Anukulyena Krishnanu
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Vilashita Shunyam
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Jnana Kamadhyana Amritam
Jnana Kamadhyana Amritam
Anukulyena
Krishnanu Anukulyena Krishnanu
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Jnana Kamadhyana Amritam Anukulyena Krishnanu
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Jnana
Kamadhyana Amritam
Anukulyena
Krishnanu
Shilanam Bhakti Uttama
Anya
Vilashita Shunyam
Jnana Kamadhyana Amritam
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Anya Vilashita Shunyam
Without desires other than those for the service of Krishna
Without desires other than those for the service of Krishna
Or without material desires. By the knowledge of the philosophy of the monist Mayavadis
The knowledge of the philosophy of the monist Mayavadis.
Yes. fruitive activities.
By my fruitive activities.
Adi.
My
artificially practicing detachment.
By
the mechanical practice of yoga, by studying the Sankhya philosophy, and so on. By the mechanical practice of yoga, studying the Sankhya philosophy, I admit this is a lot to remember. Anavritam, not covered. Anukulyena,
favorable.
Krishnanushilanam, cultivation of service in relationship to Krishna.
Bhakti Uttama,
first class devotional service. The translation again: when first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruitive action. A devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably, as Krishna desires. So we had yesterday talked about the first part of this verse. This verse has two parts. The part starting from Anukulyena Krishnanu is describing the Svarupa Lakshanas, the primary characteristics, that is the most, let us say, the essential, there is a grammatical word which I can't remember at the moment, but it's what is talked about. It's bhakti. And then there comes the Anyavilashita Shunya part. This is called the Tatashta Lakshana, or the secondary characteristic. It describes and qualifies what is talked about. So the definition of bhakti, and I take this from the second part of the verse, Anukulyena Krishnanu, means that it is an active, that it is for Krishna, and it is Krishnanu means for Krishna, that it is a Shilanam. Shilanam means like an activity done with words and mind and speech and so on. And Anukulyena is done in a favorable way. That means in a way seeking to give pleasure. It's for your pleasure, my Lord. So today, we defined in the beginning, when we start our bhakti, we can all do that. If we consider bhakti a way which brings us to Krishna, we can all start our day and do and think of Krishna first of all. I suggest that we think of Krishna that he's someone who is a good Lord, a friendly Lord. I had read to you two qualities from the Nectar of Devotion. We can find them. Yes, Krishna loves his devotees. It's quality 39. And when the devotees love him, he is impressed by this. He's controlled by their love. So we had this yesterday. I would like to be this morning very clear. This is not yet the highest level of bhakti, but it is bhakti as a way, bhakti where we start, bhakti where we still have imperfections, that is, we may still be to some degree have some of the bad qualities, or be attached, or have our stuff, our personal obstacles. But this does not, very important, this does not debar anyone, or think of the right English. It doesn't keep anyone away from bhakti. Huh? You can start on the road of bhakti by just doing this. I do like very much to repeat to you an example which His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj has given. He said to start bhakti is almost like to start a journey early in the morning. When you go on the road, you don't see left and right, you just see what the headlights show you. That is the part of the road. You miss the nice trees left and right, and the mountains and valleys and rivers. But as you progress on the road, all of a sudden, I think we know this, it's especially, I always start my journey around Brahma Muhurta when it's still dark, because it said travel light and travel early, you know. That is how you travel in a very good, easy way. So you start your road and you just see what is in front of you. And you may see these white lines, and only when you are a little bit further down the road will you see what is left and right of the road, and see more. So just to start our bhakti, and I thought it is there's a very good example of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. He has a way to put things very, very nicely and very nicely understandable for us. It's very helpful. So you can start your bhakti by just having a little bit, let us call it a tunnel vision of bhakti. It's just, you know what is a tunnel vision? What you see when you look in the tunnel, you see a little part of the sky and the atria on the other side of the tunnel, but you don't see, of course, the mountains. It's many other things. So it is important for me to have the starting point clear. Where do we start? So that we are on the right road and not on the wrong road, and we find out after 20 years we didn't get where we wanted to go, but we went to some other place. So it is necessary to start at the right point, and if you have missed it, to come back to the right point. Yesterday there was one devotee, very nice Vaishnava, and he came to me. He was clearly moved and he said, "Thank you very much for this class." And I thought, oh, I don't know if it was a good class. Probably I tried my best, but when I saw that my audience was tired, I became a little bit too German-like and I offended them by being too intense. He said, "No, I want to thank you." He said, "Why do you want to thank me?" He said, "For the first time I now have a hope. I do understand now what is bhakti. It's very clear to me now, and I will try this." I want to ask you, have you already tried to implement it? Or let me say like this, who of you has tried to implement these 3 points today? Well, that's a good turnout. It's half of the audience. Thank you very much for being willing. So if I would give a seminar, I would now ask the other half, why didn't you try it? But I will save you this morning. I expect also the other half to try it. Why? Because you need to, these things you can only understand if you practice. There are certain things in life, like for instance eating, if I can be so blunt, you will only understand the taste of a preparation if you eat it. You cannot understand it theoretically. For instance, how will you understand from this description of what I'm talking about? It talks about it tastes like a forest with the archery of wind over it. What were I talking about? Honey from Dalmatia. Is it like there's a forest with hills? Actually, there's not so much forest. I should say, I didn't give an accurate description. It tastes like rosemary, lavender on hills with a mixed little wind of the Adria. You have, one cannot understand from this description. Although I think it is a good description of Dalmatian honey. You know, you have to distinguish it from Russian honey. So you have to mention lavender and rosemary. You know. But if someone, if I would ask Shananda Thakur to give you a jug of honey from Dalmatia and you would eat it, you would say, I don't know what it is you were talking about. Lavender and rosemary. I got it. And, you know, as Hari Prasad would tell us. You know, So these things also, if you just listen to them, it will be very boring for you after some time. You must practice it to get an idea what we are talking about. To get the taste of bhakti, you can't really talk about it. You have to taste it. So please, the other half, the passive half, become the active half. I'll try it. Some of you are now, of course, you're now listening. I don't want to give some practice which you can't do at the moment. Fine. So now we will go to the secondary characteristics. I consider what I have talked now very simple subjects. I will now go into an area where you will need to concentrate a little bit more, but it's easy, it's in the morning. Morning means full concentration for us. It's not difficult. The Tathagata Lakshana, the secondary characteristics, and it's a little, it's not easy for me to talk about it, so let me offer my obeisances. Prabhupada, hope you will be merciful to me this morning. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Bhakta Kanchana Gaurani Radhe Vrindaveshwari Vrishabhanu Sure let us offer obeisances to the devotees. We have already offered. Sorry. Vancha Karvata Lukasha Kripa Sindhu Kaivasha Padhidana Paneyo Vaishnaveyo Namo Namah Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. after having given the primary symptoms of bhakti, tells us a little bit how to purify this bhakti, how to make it really not just bhakti, but uttama bhakti, first class pure devotional service. It's like he has given us gold, and now he will give us some fire to heat the gold so that the impurities will go out of the gold, which are still there, that the gold will become brilliant and luminous. And so this fire, so to say, which makes bhakti pure and first class, not just bhakti, is what is called the Tathastha Lakshana. First of all, it's really two decisions which you must make in your life, two convictions which are necessary, which will then inform your activities. And thank you, Jagannath Mishra, you are taking care of our oxygen. Thank you so much. The first decision is you must be convinced that bhakti, pure bhakti, like that of the great bhaktas, is your goal in life. That is important. The verse says here, you shouldn't have other desires. You want this pure bhakti. Jnana kamadya navritam means you will not cover your endeavor by jnana or by karma. And I would like to discuss each of these two points separately, so that we will understand. This point might become a little bit challenging for you, because I will really dig a little bit in your psychology, and so please fasten your seatbelts. It needs, you know, this is called a training session. We need to be a little bit to the point and not talk around the point. Free from desire-ness. It's a literal translation. You must have this as my goal. My goal, my desire is this bhakti. I want this bhakti. I'm now still at the beginning stages. I can unfortunately only serve Krishna and remember Krishna and then try to please him for a short time. But I'm going for the real thing in my life. I want to learn this eventually. And in order to do this, I do have to become free from my desire-ness. I'm not speaking of desires, because that would be the wrong translation. Rupa Goswami does not say anyabilas shunya. He speaks, abilas means desires, but why does he use the word avilashita, which means the desireness, means that the quality of having desires? See, now let us look for a moment as desires. Do you have desires, or is it something which you don't know what it is? you have them. Desires there are two types of desires. Every one of us must have desires. We can never ever be free of desires. It's not possible. Desires are basic instincts for self-preservation and thus inevitable. I can't go with it. For instance, the drive to survive, or the drive to eat, or the drive to sleep, or to evacuate. You know, I could give a class, be free from the desire to evacuate, but those who have to evacuate, that they like to run out of the class, no matter how interesting it is, because you know, I desire to now go to the WC if it's important, you know, the bathroom, like, it is first place at the moment, because there will be a drama if I don't do it. Or the desire for security, it will always be with us. It is so basic, it is so instinctual, and so absolutely habitual that you can't do without it. You can't be free of desires. It will never, ever be possible. It's an impractical suggestion. So therefore, Rupa Goswami doesn't say, an yavilashita shunya. He wants to give a practical part. Can you ever give these things up? No, not possible. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us an example of inevitable desires. He says when a devotee comes into a life-threatening situation, let us say one bullock cart goes with full speed and he sits on the bullock cart, I'm giving a 15th century example, and it comes, the bull got crazy and he runs towards a cliff. This is a life-threatening 15th century situation, you know. You know that I'm heading with full speed over this cliff and I will die if I fall. So at that time the devotee might call out to Krishna, "Oh Lord, please save me, your devotee, from this danger to lose my life." Now usually the devotee does not call out for material desires, you know. There's no material desires to survive or to escape a difficult situation. I mean, let me say like this. This is a material desire for security, material security. But the devotee has to call out like this, and it is 100% all right. It's not against the practices of pure bhakti. Rupa Goswami doesn't say you must be free from all types of desires, for instance, in this case, the desire for security. Then what do we have to be free from? If it's not our desires, but if it is the quality of desires, it means, to translate it in simple English, ulterior motives. This means that even a devotee who still has material desires, if his motive is not ulterior, that is, I want to fulfill my desires through Krishna consciousness, then he is a qualified candidate for bhakti. I would like to give you an example of what is not all right, what is the ulterior motives. I was driving with our Brijvasi driver to Delhi, and all of a sudden the Brijvasi driver says, "Maharaj, I have to tell you something." And I said, yes, what? And he was very serious. It was, we had become attached over the last few weeks because he served the devotees during the retreats and he did it nice. He served, he was not just driving for them, he became like a family member. "Don't trust the Indian devotees," he said. this is called Vaishnava Parat. Can you please tell me why do you say this? And he said, no, only trust the Western devotees. What? What is going on in your mind? It is interesting. I don't. Please find out what you think about his reasoning. He said, the Western devotees have given up everything. Money, their culture, some have given up their families for Krishna. But the Indian devotees had nothing, and they have seen the rich Hare Krishna temples and have gone to the temple to get two dhotis, an American wife, a good tiffin. Tiffin means where you can transport enormous quantities of food. Western devotees are free from ulterior motives, and the Indian devotees are full of ulterior motives. And Rupa Goswami, the rich Vasis, sometimes they know some verses, not sometimes, often. I said, I think your estimation of the Western devotees is too high, and your estimation of the Indian devotees is too low. He was talking about this, and then another British Parsi, who is a Brahmin, very good Brahmin, he told me of his experience with some Indian devotees and what they talked. And they talked about, you know, he told me something which I don't want to repeat, but something not good, where they expressed their abhilashita, their motives why they had joined movement for Krishna consciousness. So by the way, I really think this is a simplification. We have wonderful devotees in India. Do you know, in Mayapur, there are about 50 devotees who chant each day 64 rounds for Krishna. And they do full service. I don't think this, I'm not good devotees, wonderful, you know. But I just wanted you to hear, and you know, and you must know, the people from Uttar Pradesh never liked the Bengalis, you know, and the Bengalis never liked the. There is something in India which, as you go deeper into the culture, you there are fun jokes about Bengalis, just like you joke here in the Balkans about the people of Montenegro. You say, why does a Montenegro person always have a chair next to his bed? And the joke goes like this, when he is, you know, because when he gets up from sleeping, he might have to take a little pause and recover and sit on the chair. This is how you joke. This is an intercultural joke, you know. Or we have the Ostfriesenwitze, you know, we joke about the people from northwest of Germany. That, my God, there are so heavy jokes, if I would tell them, who would just die from laughter. They are mean jokes, they are not good jokes. I have seen devotees from Montenegro. They are extremely determined, and they never think of their own welfare, and they just do seva, seva, seva. But I'm saying this. So in India, the same thing goes on. They joke about people from other provinces, and when someone says something about this, you have to take it with a grain of salt. My point here is, Rupa Goswami speaks about the quality of your desires. You have to give up So that type of quality, where you enter the path of bhakti, and you don't want to attain bhakti for Krishna, but you just have other ulterior motives. And he speaks about these motives in a little time. But I would like to first of all say it is not bad to have desires. It is not forbidden to have desires on the path of bhakti. Desires will be always there. You don't have to give it up. And of course, according to your level of development, the way you are, you have certain desires. For instance, some of you may think, I must go to that ultimate fight show where Mirko is fighting against Remo, you know, to the ultimate end. There is some posters there available on the thing, and that means maybe you have stored aggressions in you, some aggressions, and you like some fighting. You yourself don't want to do it, at least not the body, only with words. And then you want to go into this ultimate fight and see it. It is a certain development which brings your desires. Others have other desires. But if these desires which you have and which will be purified as you go on the process of bhakti, do not become ulterior motives, that you are here to enjoy bhakti for your own purposes, to become rich, or to, I don't know, you know, to... But I don't want to give examples for very bad things which you could do. Then it's no problem. Krishna speaks about this. And I want to talk about this to encourage you, because sometimes we hear, I have to be pure, and we go like, this is too much, this is not for me, you know. And you stop endeavoring because you think from the start you will never make it. I want to give you examples. Krishna speaks about his devotees, and he speaks about those devotees who are still have desires. He says, Apichen sudaracharo bhajati man ananya bhakti. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. You know, he speaks about a new person who is on the road of bhakti, who has done something, something really... Do you know the word abominable, what it means in your language? Who can translate abominable?
Odratna.
Odvratno. Oh, that sounds already abominable. Odvratno. God, it makes you shudder. But even if someone does, Krishna says, if he's on the path of bhakti, he is to be considered saintly. In 1 or 2 days he will be saintly. He will give up this because the bhakti is so powerful, it will purify him. But this means he has to be on the right path. He has to do something with his body, his words, and his mind for Krishna to give him pleasure. Otherwise it doesn't work. He will not be purified. He will be always a new man. And so on. The Bhagavatam talks also about a devotee who is still desires, who is not free from desires, and it gives encouragement to such a devotee, and it says, no problem, you can do bhakti, and the end will be glorious for you. It says, jata shato mat, Jata shado matkatashu nirvina sarva karmasu veda dukarma kankama parijage pyanishvara tato bhajeta man prita shadalu shadalu tridanishchaya yoshamarascha tankama duko dakam sagarhayam. Now Krishna speaks. He says, Buddha, if someone has awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, and he is disgusted with all material activities, he knows this is not good, this is not good. And if he knows that all sense gratification will lead to misery, he has seen this. But still, he is unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. No problem. My devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, you know, he slips it, he blows it. He goes to Merkur and Remo, or looks at Merkur and Remo, getting like at themselves and hurting themselves, you know. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. This is from the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 20, verses 27 to 28. 11, 20, 27 to 28. Krishna encouraged us, says us. He gives a further illustration to what he said in the Gita, that if he's on the right path, he is to be considered saint. And here he describes what is still, you know, clouding his devotees. It's the desire to enjoy his senses separately, and he's really... he's doing it, but he should not despair. At the beginning, it's still natural, but he should stay on the path. He should have this decision, shraddha, you know, this conviction. It's called dridha nishchaya. Bhakti is my goal. Bhakti is my goal. I will have a goal. I will get not bhakti. Pure bhakti, uttama bhakti is my goal. It's my goal. It indicates that a devotee on this stage has some faith in Krishna and wants to reach him. Thus he thinks, now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will go into the psychology of such a devotee, and I feel he speaks directly to my heart. I can pray like this. He says, how he thinks. And try to see if you can identify with this. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. You know, I was a little bit materialistic before I came to Krishna consciousness. And I did things which are not to be revealed in the association of Vaishnavas. So therefore I still have these sanskaras, these impressions. And I like to see, you can go into my home and look at my film library, then you know my attachments. And so on. Personally, I have no power to stop these illusory attachments. I tried, but it's there. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to him. See, this means to be on the right path. I will always do this bhakti which Rupa Goswami defined with three qualities: saw Krishna with the Tilotsky, with the body, and the Bumsky, the mind, and the Ritzi, the words, you know. I will do this, and I will do this in a way to give him pleasure. I want to satisfy him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I should go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. This is what you need. This type of orientation. That I will serve him. I will somehow do it, even if I still have these unbecoming desires. No? You have no ulterior motive. Your motive is all right. Some of you are parents, and you know the child may do some glupasta, some nonsense. But if the child doesn't want to hurt you, you say, I was once a child, I did, I did other things, I don't know. The motive must be all right. I want the right thing. That's very good. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me, it offers me other activities than bhakti, I'm not interested. I know I'm attached to material things. I can see clearly also that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things. And I'm patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. Isn't this very close to our heart, Ramananda? It is realistic. We know, okay, here is no pretense. We are talking about psychology here. Or like sometimes one Mataji once came to me and said, well, Guru Maharaj, do you think your Grihastha disciples will follow all four regulated principles, the way it is defined by Srila Prabhupada, only for the procreation of children? You know what I mean? I said, I think they will all do this. And then this my disciple said, I think you are an illusionary naive. I said, let me be naive, it's alright. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions four types of devotees. Three of these four are full of material desires. Who remembers them? Those who are distressed and want to solve their distress. Those who love for money. And those who are curious and the curious. I want to find out these Hare Krishnas, what they do, you know, what it's all about. And then he gives, then examples are given by our acharyas of those who want material desires, who want money, and who will just, I suffered so much, now I want to enjoy, now my time should come. Pizza, cafes, olive oil, and everything else which I'm not talking about in the public. You know, the material desires. But Krishna says, all these devotees are great souls. He writes, And Vishwanath Thakur says, what is going on in Krishna's mind? It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. No. The Lord says that all these people, all these devotees, with all them, you know, all their desires, you know, are magnanimous. Magnanimous means great people. Because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma, or great soul. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti says how the Lord thinks even about these devotees who are maybe like me, who still have material, who are not totally pure. No? He says, these devotees worship me. And they also accept all objects which they desire. But I wanted to give them these things anyways. What? Krishna wanted to give you your bass guitar anyways. He wanted to give you your film anyways. Because he thinks they are my devotees. They come. They are what they are, like my children. You know, he's really like a father. When a father sees his boy wants a new tractor, and he wants it so much, you know, and the tractor retractor. Can't you get something more attractive, please, than a tractor? And he sees my child wants a tractor. Father, tractor. The other boy from the neighborhood has a tractor. I also want a tractor. Tractor, anything. Something healthy to eat, biological. No, tractor. It's a nice dress which you can go and play. No, tractor. What is a tractor? That's so expensive. No, plastic tractor. You know, then the father of the dog, well, he's a child. I thought he would be Shukadev Goswami or Sita Thakurani, you know, from my body and the body of my wife, only a pure devotee comes, but he wants a tractor. Alright, let's give a baby, let's go and buy a good tractor, better than the neighbor tractor. So Krishna also thinks like this, those young devotees, those newcomers, but they are on the path and they want really bhakti. There is something which is still there, passing clouds ever go. So he says, I am affectionate to all devotees and I like to give them generously. But I must also say, the one who is in search of knowledge, that means not material things, he is my very self. He worships me thus and not desires anything at all from me, neither svaga nor moksha. Thus I am dependent on him. He is my very soul. Krishna, he says, it's all right, but it's not the highest goal. No? The highest is those who want. Here, the main point is your motivation should be I want bhakti, and for this, my dear devotees, you need to hear a lot about not just Krishna, but Krishna's devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us Krishna Katha is complete not just if you talk about Krishna, but how do Krishna's devotees feel? Because as you hear this, and as you hear about the sweet relationship between Krishna and his devotees, you think, I want this. I really want this. This is the best. They are in relationship with Krishna. This is my goal. I also want this. You know, because it's so loving and how Krishna deals with his devotees. And how he stood alone in the palace gate in Dwaraka to wait for Sudha. Oh my God, I want such a relationship. Second decision. First decision is, bhakti is my goal. I may still have these material desires, but bhakti is my goal. The second decision is nothing else is required except for bhakti. And now I come to something where the International Society for Krishna Consciousness needs to learn a lesson. Astrology, psychology, all these other things should not cover bhakti. He says, Rupa Goswami says, it should not, what is it? Rupasita Shunya Jnana Kama Jnanavritam. It should not, yes, it should not cover the bhakti. You may go to an astrologer to find out if such a relationship of your friend with the other friend will work, you know, that marriage between this man and this woman will work, or you may go to get some psychological counseling when you feel, oh, I'm just not getting over this. There's something which just haunts me, and I don't get it out of my mind. And there's a traumatic situation. I need to be traumatized apparently by something. But it should not cover. You can take help, but it should not become the only, more important than your. There's Krishna, he's a loving God. I want to use my body and my words and my things in his service. And I want to do it not with any ulterior motives. I want to do it to give him pleasure. This should not be covered by this. Jnana or karma. This decision. And nothing else is required except for bhakti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, some say he's a reincarnation of Rupa Goswami, or at least he imbibed Rupa Goswami's full spirit, and that's why I like to quote him very much on the subject in this lecture. He has one verse from the Bhagavatam which he likes so much, and he quotes it 14 times in his writing. It's a verse, I must say, when I read it, I didn't think it's a very special verse. I mean, it didn't strike me as very special. But then I found out that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur likes it so much. It must be special. Can I read this verse to you? It explains to us why these other things should not cover bhakti. These jnana and karma practices. He says, yatkarmabhi yattapasa jnana vairagya tascaya yogena dhana dharmena shreyo bhiraitarairapi savam mat bhakti yogena matbhakto labhakenyasa svaga pravagam matthama katanchit yadi vanchati. Everything that can be achieved by fruit of activities, penance, knowledge, psychology is in the term, it's knowledge, and astrology is also knowledge. Detachment, yoga, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting one's life. All this, what can be achieved by this, is easily achieved by my devotee through bhakti or loving service unto me. If somehow or other my devotee desires promotion to heaven, liberation or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benediction. it's amazing. And some more clarification is required, I can see in your faces. He speaks now. Krishna says, my dear devotees, you don't need to go anywhere else. Come to me. Come to my bhakti. Do my devotional service. If you still should desire something, promotion to heaven is, no one of us knows how to enjoy, by the way. In heaven you can enjoy, not here. Some Mercedes Benz and some in our tired material bodies where the senses are so weak and give up after a few minutes of eating ice cream and can't eat anymore. You know, it's ridiculous to try to enjoy it. But in heaven, you can eat ice cream for 24 hours and it's still the senses still extremely strong and not weakened. You know, so if this is there, all this can be easily achieved by my devotees. And examples are given. For instance, Chitraketu liked good cars. I mean, not good cars, good vimanas, you know, airplanes. He wanted to have one. And he liked interesting company. So he was going with the heavenly damsels in his vimanas and traveling. Now, some of you smile. That's it. That's it. Finally, you are talking about something. That was on the side still. And he got this. Or Vishwanath Thakur gives the example. Shukadev Goswami, he wanted to be free from all entanglements in the illusory potency of the Lord. He wanted to be the super renounced Brahmachari. No? And Krishna gave it to him. Liberation from all Maya. In other words, if Krishna, Vishwanath says, sees some small attachments in the hearts of his devotees, he may fulfill them. But he also says, intelligent devotees, they are dedicated completely to me alone, and they do not desire liberation and all these other things, even if I offer to them. He doesn't give any doubts. It's not the highest level. But he says, it doesn't stop you from being my devotee. Provided, I have to repeat it, I will repeat it about 100 times in this lecture. You understand what is bhakti and you do bhakti and you have the goal to attain pure bhakti and you are not covering this by thinking other things are more important, which are in the jnana and karma situation. My dear devotees, I find that in our ISKCON theology, practical theology, we have gotten this wrong. We have started with renunciation. You must renounce, you must renounce, you must renounce, and so on. In some countries, if a devotee has hair and comes into the temple, everyone points at him, Maya, 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 Maya. Or just to have a beard, you know, someone desires to have a beard for some reason, you know, that feels very nice to have a good, strong beard, you know. Then, Maya, 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 you can't be a devotee. And many have given up the path because of this. It's not the point of bhakti. It's not Krishna's point. It's not the Acharya's point. It's a point of a movement who wants to somehow understand things from their perspective, and who may also be a little judgmental and not be open to, and not humanly realistic. With this, I'm absolutely not saying, I want to say this again, because I'm attacking now a concept, and there will be a reaction from this concept, from the conservative quarter. I'm not saying that these attachments should go on. They have nothing to do with bhakti. It's not that it's bhakti to have a beard. And we have some movements. Oh, no, I should not criticize it. But some movement, there's one movement, everyone needs to have a beard, otherwise it's not socially accepted. In ISKCON, everyone does, and no one should have a beard, so there's a counter beard movement. Hare Krishna, very advanced in other movies. It's not the point of bhakti to have a beard or to not have a beard. It's absolutely childish. But not childish, that's a judgmental statement. It's besides the point. The point of bhakti is to do that there's Krishna, and you use what you have, your silent sharira, your body, and you in his service, and you want to give him pleasure. It's not about you, it's about putting Krishna in the center. Now, of course, now comes the second part of this, but I'm almost finished, don't worry, it won't be a long time. Of course, these material desires get in the way of developing pure bhakti. If you pursue material desires, it takes a lot of energy, it takes money, it may bewilder your mind. And in a mind which has so many materialistic impressions, you may not be able to think of Krishna and do bhakti. It's not that this is good. But as you begin the process, and you started as a human being, and not yet as Shukadev Goswami, you might have to go through these areas and then realize, well, this is not so important. My question to you is now, how do you become free of material desires? I think it's very important. You just said it's all right to have material. It is normal. And you can still do bhakti, but these material desires can develop into their karmic reactions to some of them. All of them, when you look a movie, it's in your head and in your hair for some time. Or if you break the principles, boom, there is a reaction. It's not that this is... So let us now talk about, is there a way to become free of material desires? I want to hear practical answers. Higher taste. I will not quote you entirely because I want to reserve this point for later. I hope no one has heard.
We can pray for Krishna that he helps us go from the side.
How would you pray? Will you do it like Augustinus? My Lord, please free me from the desires, but not just please accept me, you will say, like I am, and please give me a higher taste. By the way, the same Augustinus never went to ultimate fights. And in his time it was gladiators in the stadium. And one day his friends said, you must come to the ultimate fight. Fight means ultimate gladiators, one will be dead, the other will live. Or in rare cases, you could, the one who lost the fight could also be begnadigt. He could be given life. Very terrible, very brutal. So he said, I don't want to go. So he went. No, then his friend said, "You, it's very good. It's some, you know, it's some entertainment, and you are not heard, and only the guys are hurting themselves. It is, you know, it's a good diversion, and it, we are all aggressive people, and sometimes it helps you to see this." And Augustine said, "No, no, it's too brutal. It's like I'm not an animal." Oh. But then his friends said, and he sat there, and he had his cloth down to not see. Just he went along with his friends, but he didn't want to see how they were, you know, going with knives and putting them into the body and so on. He said like this. And one time he said, "Let me just see for a moment." And at that time, the one gladiator killed the other in a brutal way. And for many years, this impression stayed in his heart. And he couldn't get it out. Because these material things leave an impression. It's not good to follow them, but you know. No? So how can we become free of these desires, which are maybe there?
Strong will.
Strong will. That's very practical.
Be honest and recognize what desires you have.
That's enough to become free?
No, that's a start.
You have, starting is, you look what is there. Because if you don't look what is there, it will still be there. We must cultivate new wishes. How do we do this?
So we have to increase our attachment to Krishna.
You're still going in circles in your argument. We are looking that everyone wants, but the desires are there. So if you tell them, you just do what you want. That is Krishna consciousness and attachment to Krishna. How will it help me to become free of what I don't want? Do you follow my? It's a nice project, and maybe it works for you, Mandaleshwari.
Meaningful peer association. So when they are also having different desires to please Krishna, then similarly.
Here an interesting point comes in. We need to have something outside of us, association, the devotees who are sincere, who want to serve Krishna.
Use your intelligence to understand it didn't work in the past.
Use your intelligence and understand it didn't work in the past. Narada Muni says something like this in the Mahabharata. He says you should think about the result of following this desire. Yes, you are very new, Anton. You will give a very new. Let us have some new ideas. Yes.
Must have good impressions.
You must have good impressions of devotion.
That will make bad impressions go away.
That will make the bad impressions go away. Like programming, you have a bad program, then you put a good program and exchange it. Anton is a programmer. Yes, Anadi Krishna.
Seriously chant Holy Name.
Yes, and then Chetodhapana Majanam, the marrow of the heart, will be purified. Nice. So let me look at some Majajis. Palika, what is your program?
Book distribution?
Do book distribution.
If you read your Baba's books and then you try and spread it to them, Krishna gives you more knowledge.
Right? Wonderful program. That you do book distribution.
No.
I'm saying I didn't mean that. I said it wrong. Palika says, "Let's go on book distribution." But she gives a reason for this. She says, "You are reading the knowledge, and then you're distributing the knowledge. And when you distribute knowledge, it increases in you." Very intelligent plan. Oh my God, I never saw it like this. But it is. It's a fact. She's a new devotee, Shyama Chandra. Marayanti, practical program, yes? Go to Vrindavan.
We love the association, they love us, and then slowly we are giving up from the things. I think so, it's only by love.
Wonderful program. Thank you, Marayanti, for a wonderful answer you have given. A very deep answer. We need to be loved, says Marayanti, and be in a loving association. And then we can it's a fact in it's from the Upanishads. You are a highly learned honey. Two essential needs everyone has, to be loved and to love. And then these are fulfilled, other needs are fulfilled. Very, very handy. I didn't think of that, Marayanti, but it's such a good answer. I thank all of you. I see there's some more thinking is going on, and you have some answers to this. Listen to this answer of the Bhagavatam. You have implied it already, and one of you has said it at the very beginning, but I didn't quote that to have you all a little bit to give the sweet at the end. I was for a long, long time thinking, how is it possible to give up desires? You know, I'm such a person, I sometimes have a desire, I can talk to you honestly, it's about literature, I do like literature still, and I sometimes wish I wouldn't have that desire, because it takes time to read a book. And I really don't have much time. And I wish I wouldn't have to read this book. It's a, you would call them good books, and it's nothing bad. My birthday comes, and I should not, destroy all your good opinions about me. So that you can't celebrate. It's just I like to learn now from Nelson Mandela. How could he give up the spirit of taking revenge? So I'm reading the long journey to freedom, because you cannot imagine the black people in Africa, they are so suppressed, and the natural reaction was to now become the spear of the African spirit, in other words, get weapons and kill the white people. They were treated so badly. It breaks your heart to read that what was going on in the past. Right? And he was first thinking of taking revenge and going all over the world to get weapons for the armed resistance against this. And then they got him, and he spent 27 years in prison, being spit at, being... He could not cry afterwards any longer because he saw so much bad things. It breaks a man, 27 years in prison. He was a good man. He tried his best. And he was interviewed. What is the difference between the Nelson who went inside the prison and the Nelson who left the prison 27 years later? And listen to his surprising answer. He said, I understood that taking revenge and being bad to those who are bad to you never solved the problem. I became more mature, and I was willing to forgive and to look for, here comes a difficult English word, I had to look at reconciliation. Is that the right word? What does this mean, reconciliation? How do you understand?
Be able to accept and sort of come together.
To come together and sort it out.
Yeah. Yes. If it's involving multiple parties, it's really to come together, but it can be also a personal reconciliation, which is just to accept something and be okay with it.
Oh, yeah. You might have to look that word up, reconciliation. It's something to come to grips to terms here. No? But violence is not a solution. You know. So there are such amazing. So I'm interested. How did his transformation work? So I'm reading, but I wish. That I ordered it, and it was such a big book. I said, "Oh no, why not such a small book? Can you not say that?" You know, it's within the realm of Krishna consciousness. Don't worry, but what to do? I'm a little intellect. I don't think I'm intellectual. I'm curious, and then it's a material desire, but. How does this ever change? I'm asking myself. Manisha, what is your problem? How do desires change? Amrita Kelly.
I'm really
difficult for this question. Difficult, better not ask yet. Here comes the answer from the Shastras. Sangha. Association somehow gets into the heart and purifies the desires and the orientation in your life. This is how we are. We respond to association. And this is what the Bhagavatam says as an answer. Uddhava, says Krishna, only by associating with my devotees can one destroy material attachment and attain me. This is a very, very important process. And Krishna gives examples to Uddhava. Prahlad Maharaj, he said, had the association of Narada Muni. And in the womb, he became a pure devotee. Vibhishan, the brother of who? Ravana. Makes the whole world cry. He's so cruel. Had association with whom? Hanuman came and visited him and Vibhishan. Oh, I became a devotee. Maya Danava, the Asura, had to build an assembly hall for the Pandavas and often conversed with Yudhishthira Maharaj, became a devotee. Then there were some wives of the Brahmanas in Braj at the outside of Raj, outside of Vrindavan area, and they would have association with the Brijvasi betel nut sellers who came from Raj to Mathura to sell their products, and they became pure devotees by this association. You need to have good association parties, and that is what the organizers of this festival want to create. They want to create a forum for you to have association with devotees who are all now in one mind. We will build a group mind. Let's celebrate Nityananda. You want to see something like this? I know you also have another agenda, but that's your thing. This is very important to have association with devotees. One of your rabbis said to us, who are also with that mind, I want to obtain bhakti. And this is how your desires change. You will think, too simple, and keep on associating with kamis. Let us meet in 10 years and look at you in 10 years. It is something which is difficult to understand because you can't see how the energy from one heart goes into your heart. It's not, you can't see it with your eyes. You can only see, my God, I was in Vrindavan, I had association with all the devotees, and I don't like this Western style of living. It's somehow there. Something has changed with me. I don't know what it is, but I'm changing. Prabhupada said he made this movement for this purpose, so that we can have association. Let us not ruin this movement by, you know, bringing politics into it or ulterior motives and so on, and then it won't work. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry I was a little long, but I will stop here now. Do you have any quick questions? So happy that God said this. I can't believe how happy I am. Thank you so much, Professor. Thank you for listening carefully. You want a summary, I can see. You feel over information, overkill, overload. Very simple. Bhakti, you all know the 3 points of Bhakti. Today we have learned 2 additional points. The devotee should see Bhakti as my goal. He shouldn't have an ulterior motive. I want something else than Bhakti. And he should... Jnana and Karma, that means other processes, he should take care that this doesn't cover him. If Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a wonderful... he says, I don't find it in my notes, but I know it by heart. He says, let the devotee make bhakti their goal, and in this way they put a throne in their hearts where they invite Krishna. And when Krishna is invited in the heart, it's like he's like the sun. More and more he will rise like the rising sun, and the darkness will go. And that's the whole idea of this seminar. You should think of Krishna and do service for him and try to please him. And you will see every day the light will become stronger. If you just do this, think of Krishna. Don't think of your weakness. Don't think also of your desire while you do bhakti, the other desire. Just be there with Krishna, and he will rise in your heart and spread the light, and the darkness will go. But if you never start with Krishna, you never put him there, you have no chance. It will not work for you. You will remain prostrated. No, you won't get to where you should go. Krishna, Krishna. This is maybe all I want to say. Krishna, Krishna. And you forget everything. You remember Krishna, Krishna. You got it. Krishna. Dobro, any questions? We have always the same devotees, but they are philosophical devotees. Govinda, you will have the first. And then Peter Gustafsson.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Can you tell us how we hear that bhakti is in our heart, and that bhakti comes in our heart from
devotees? So which is it?
Yeah. Can you explain to us?
If you go to some places in Vrindavan, you will have 2 parties who fight with each other on this question. It's a difficult question. Govinda. To answer this question, Govinda, can you ask me this question in another time, please? it's not. I will lose the point of this lecture. But it's a good question. It must be asked. In short, both. but you need to figure it out how it works. Yeah.
How do you know that?
Turn on, please.
How do we know that what we are doing, our activity, is actually pleasing Krishna and not our, maybe our speculation? For example, if we have two choices, both could please Krishna, maybe we could choose the one that pleases us more.
Would you like to hear Prabhupada's answer to this question? Of course you can't say no, but he says the criteria, you know, if something is bhakti or not, is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. Must know this, what he wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through intense speculation. No, I'm sorry. I just lost the line here. This understanding what Krishna wants him to do, you can just think honestly, what do you want to do? And then think, this is what Krishna wants. Oh, sorry, I don't know. I'm joking, Kurt, because, so let me tell now what it is. Listen, maybe I tell you the wrong thing and you have to find it out. The criterion is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Without accepting a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession, one cannot find out the real purpose of devotional service. Therefore, one has to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be directed by him. I think 50% of my disciples have agreed to this. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his own spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Actually, he said, I made a mistake in reading this. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Now I'm thinking, and I want to speak very sincerely. I'm a teenage mother. Teenage mother means like this. Sometimes it happens that teenagers become mothers. They are very young. They are children themselves. But they have to be children. Now they have to be mothers for their children. They may not be so... Can you understand what is a teenage mother?
Yeah.
15, 16 years old, and she has a child, somehow. She has to learn many things because she is so young. But she also is the mother to the children. She has the milk with which the children need. So in the same way, I was asked to do this by Prabhupada. I'm not perfect, and I don't want to say this, but I want to satisfy Prabhupada. This is my real motive in life. I want to practice bhakti. I'm a teenage mother, young person. And therefore, I always say, like a real teenage mother says, I'm young, but my mother knows many things. You go to your grandmother, she says to the child, and you, grandmother will love you very much, Baka, will love you very much. In the same way, I always want to say, let's go to Prabhupada to be safe. He is the father, he knows everything, right? Teenage. So, but we must find out. And some things our teenage spiritual master knows, and he will tell you when he doesn't know. He will say, I'm sorry, I can't, we will have to find it. But we will find the answer to this question, don't worry. But I'm not, I don't at the moment, don't know.
I feel this is how bhakti comes to the world. We must come to a pure source, and we must learn from this source nicely. And this is how we know what Krishna wants of us. That was Prabhupada's answer to this. And it's so simple. You immediately understand it's true. How do you know what Krishna please? You must ask someone. And you can sometimes... And we know from Prabhupada's books a lot what Prabhupada likes, what Krishna likes. Dobro. So we are ending this class here. I thank you very much. If you forget everything of this class, the summary is simple. Bhakti must be our goal, and we must take care that we are not covering this goal with other things. Jnana, karma. And then, as we continue with our bhakti, very soon we will have Uttama bhakti, or pure bhakti. Why? Because we put Krishna in the throne of our heart. He will spread the rays of the sun. And it will go. One devotee told me, Guru Maharaj, the devotee said, yes, I now want to hear about Krishna. Wow, I said. Let's form a club. I also want. This is really the sign of advancement. Because then you can put Krishna in your heart and you can serve him. You can do bhakti. Hare Krishna. All the best.